So let's jump into our sermon series that we've been doing has been called the Table Talk. And so we've really centered around these profound stories around a table. And they all involve Jesus in some meaningful way. And just to kind of catch you up in case this is you're like, oh yeah, I finally came back to church. Just in case you missed a few weeks, this is where we've been. So the very first week we talked about Jesus meeting with Levi, the tax collector, and this was the table of invitation. And so we talked about how Jesus will meet you exactly where you are, no matter what you've done. And then the next week we talked about it was a proper table. It was a Pharisee's table. It was a perfect, clean table. And this immoral woman came to this perfect table and started doing whatever she wanted to do to Jesus because she loved him so much. The grace that he had given her, she couldn't hold it inside anymore. And that was the table of grace. And if you'll remember, last week we talked about the table of provision when Jesus meets the earthly needs of 5,000 plus people on this hillside. But we said ultimately what Jesus was doing in that moment was meeting the spiritual provision of all the people. That Jesus looks to fulfill that before anything else. And so this week we're going to be in the town of Bethany, where Jesus is at a table with his disciples and two sisters. So we're going to be in Luke 10, starting at verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all of the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we share together. And Lord, I pray now that your Spirit would be upon us, that in these next moments that we share together, that it would be your Spirit and your Word that would be with us today. And Lord, I pray that when I mess something up, that you would clean it up in the ears of the people so that it would only be your Word and your voice that they hear today. Allow your Spirit to be upon us today, Lord. Open our hearts. Reveal what it is that you want to say to us today through your Word. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So I know that we have a potluck coming up, so I'm gonna try to get through this because I'm sure we'll start smelling the food, and then you'll get distracted, and then you'll start thinking about the food, and you'll stop listening to me. So let's jump right into it. Luke 10, starting at verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village. Now we know this certain village to be Bethany from the book of John, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And John also tells us that Mary and Martha were the sisters of Lazarus. There we go. Perfect. Glad you guys are paying attention. Verse 39, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. So their first point is this: sit with Jesus before you serve for Jesus. So you need to sit with Jesus before you can serve for Jesus. The very first part we need to talk about is like, what's the response in these two verses? Because what Luke is trying to show us is there's two very distinct responses by these sisters. Now, as Jesus and his disciples are coming to this house, to Martha's house, there's two ways that the sisters respond. Martha is running around getting everything ready for her guest. And once the disciples and Jesus are there, Mary sits at his feet. Now, I think Martha gets a bad rap. She often. Are you coming up to preach today? You just can't make this stuff up, you know? But I think oftentimes we look at the story of Mary and Martha gets a bad rap. Because like, oh, she's distracted, she's running around. Like, Jesus is literally in her room. Why is she not doing what Mary's doing? Like, that's the easy thing for us to say. Probably because we've read this story I don't know how many times. And they're trying to highlight, like Luke's trying to highlight what Mary is doing. But Martha gets a bad rap. And I'm here to change that. Because what Martha is doing is exactly what you're supposed to be doing at this time when a guest comes to your house. Especially the Son of God, okay? Like when he comes to your house, you should probably be prepping things and getting things in order. Like looking under every nook and cranny and cleaning, right? Like we have guests that aren't Jesus that come to our house and we like shove things into the closet and we rearrange stuff, like all this sort of stuff. Like Jesus isn't coming over. And so she's doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing in her home. Serve the guest. Now she responds correctly as well. Like when Jesus is in your house, you should probably sit at his feet. Here's the thing. During this time, to sit at the feet of a teacher meant that you were learning from him, that you were being discipled by that teacher. Like whoever this teacher or rabbi was, if you were to sit at their feet, they were saying, I'm teaching you and you're learning from me. And so for Mary to actually do this was inappropriate. Because women didn't sit at the feet of teachers. What women did was what Martha was doing. When guests or teachers entered the home, the women were running around and cleaning and preparing and serving. And so actually, what Mary is doing is inappropriate. She shouldn't be sitting there. She should be running around with Martha. And what Martha is doing is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Are you on Martha's side yet? No? Okay, all right, we'll still work. We'll keep working on you. But the response, both of them are correct. Now, of the time, Mary's wrong, but we know that to sit at the feet of Jesus is a pretty cool thing. So even if you're breaking laws and rules, like you should sit at the feet of Jesus. So the response, both of them, is right. And that Mary is now entering into this formal discipleship with Jesus. It was such a radical behavior. But what she was trying to do in this moment is she's starting to build a relationship with Jesus. To sit at the feet of Jesus is signifying that I want to begin this relationship with you, Lord. And we know that like spiritual formation happens, it's relational, right? It's relational before it's ever functional. Let me say that again. Spiritual formation is relational before it is ever functional. Like you have to build that relationship with Jesus, that you have to build that presence of Jesus in your life. Like, are you sitting with God's word? Are you dwelling with God's word into your heart? Now, the best way that I know to sit at the feet of Jesus today, you and I, is to sit and dwell with the Gospels. Now, listen to what I'm saying. All Scripture is inspired by God and is worthy of reading and edifying our souls. All right, can we all agree on that? But if you want to sit at the feet of Jesus and his teaching, like Mary is doing in this moment, like you have to sit and dwell with the Gospels. The four Gospels. Why? Because that is the life of Jesus and his teachings. And so to dwell with those four books is literally to sit at the feet of Jesus. Let's go a little bit further. Luke 10, verse 40. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." Our next point is this: you can serve Jesus and still miss him. You can serve Jesus and still miss him. A lot of what we're talking about today is being in the presence of Jesus, but also how do we fit into the service of Jesus? Like, I'm not going to sit up here and say that serving Jesus is wrong. Like, there are people downstairs right now as we're all sitting here watching your kids, being with your kids, ministering to your kids, teaching them about Jesus. They're not babysitting, by the way. They're ministering to your kids. I was in children's ministry for 10 years. This is a side note, okay? We always got a little perturbed when people say we babysit kids. We're like, huh? I've been preparing all week to minister to your kids. That has nothing to do with the message, by the way. But there are literally people down there with your kids right now. There's people downstairs preparing food for our potluck. Like, the service of the church is wonderful and necessary and needed. And more times than not, there's a small percentage of the church that does most of the serving. And this story gets to it because you have someone who's sitting at the feet of Jesus, being in the presence of Jesus, and then you have someone else who is actually serving and doing. So you get this wonderful comparison of what it's like to live a life at the feet of Jesus, but also what does it look like to serve Jesus? Is one right or wrong? Like, is it more important to just sit at the feet of Jesus and be in his presence? Or is it more important that we're busy and we're serving Jesus? We're serving the church. We're serving our local ministries. We're going on global missions, which, by the way, if you haven't signed up yet, sign up yet. We're going to Nicaragua, okay? But are we active in our faith? Or are we complacent? Because we can sit here and say we're complacent by saying, "I'm just sitting at the feet of Jesus." Or someone asks you to do something and you go, "Well, I'm really gonna have to pray about that first." But in your head, you were never gonna do it anyways. But you present it as I'm sitting with the presence of God first before I make my decision. So we get this wonderful comparison of, should we be active in the church or should we be at the feet of Jesus? But I wonder, like, why does it have to be either or? Why can't it be both? And I think as we begin to break this story down more, I think what we're going to see is Jesus is trying to show us that it is both. That you need to sit with the presence of God in your life. That you need to sit with him. But you also need to take that faith and you need to move it forward. You need to be active with your faith. I like this last part of verse 40. "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work," right? Then listen to what she says. tell her to come and help me. Did you catch that? Martha literally just told Jesus what to do. Right? Like when I read that verse and I get to that point, tell her to come and help me. Like I have to like stop and think a little second. Like, wait a minute. She just told Jesus what to do. And now we're standing here and you're sitting there and we're all laughing because it seems crazy that we would tell Jesus what to do. I bet you've done it. I've done it. I'll admit it. I'm not scared to say it. But I suspect that there's been moments in your life where you have said to God, if you answer this prayer, I'll be a faithful follower. If you were to take away X, Y, and Z, whatever it is over here, I will follow you faithfully. Has anybody ever done that? One person. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Elmo. I'm glad no one raised their hand that I didn't know their name. That was good. But we do this all the time, is we try to tell Jesus, we give God ultimatums, basically is what it is. We give him ultimatums. And it's like we're putting out that fleece, right? We're putting out that fleece. We're testing God to see if he is faithful to us. And that's exactly what Martha is doing in this moment. She's like, I'm doing all this work. I'm serving as much as I possibly can. I'm getting ready for you and your disciples. Like, what is my sister doing? You go tell her to help me. And then everything will be perfect. Church, I'm here to tell you that when we give God ultimatums, it does not end well. Like, for you to say, like, if you answer my prayer, God, I'll follow you faithfully. Like your ultimatum doesn't matter to God. An all-powerful, all-knowing, outside the bounds of time and space, right? And we think that our one little prayer is going to make or break God's day. Now, does God care about your prayer? Yes, absolutely he does. But as we kind of talked about last week, what's the most important thing that he cares about? It's your spiritual provision, that you're following him faithfully. Like, that's what God cares about. Will he meet your earthly needs? Yes and no. But will you follow him faithfully? And that's what he gets to as we go a little bit further. Verse 41, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. Our next point is this. Devotion determines direction. Devotion determines direction. Martha is concerned with all of these details, all of these moving parts that are happening in her household. She is worried and upset about the details. But Jesus contrasted it and he tells her there's only one thing worth being concerned about. And so in the midst of all of these distractions that Martha has, Jesus is trying to highlight and point out there is only one thing to be concerned about. Luke 8, verse 14. The seed that fell among the thorns represented those who hear the message. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. This is the one thing that Jesus is telling her she needs to be concerned about. Is that given all the details that are going on, the presence of Jesus in her life will help her to grow into maturity. That when we are worried and distracted by all the noise around us, it crowds out and chokes out the Word of God in our lives. And so Jesus is trying to highlight this point to Martha here, to say that everything that's going on around you, Mary has found it. Notice he doesn't say that she's wrong for serving and getting the house ready and preparing for Jesus and his disciples, right? He never says that to her. What's he say to her? You're worried and distracted. That gives us a little bit of insight. One, that serving the local ministry, serving the church is not wrong. And you probably should do more of it. Jesus is not saying that is bad, but what is the heart behind the service? Martha is so worried and concerned about all the details, she's forgetting that the presence of Jesus is in her house. Now, if I think if she was focused on the presence of Jesus while still serving, I don't think that would have been a problem. So I think if you have Mary and Martha together, like that's like the perfect picture of what Jesus is talking about in this story, is that we should be sitting at the feet of Jesus constantly to soak in his presence. But that presence and the understanding in our life should lead to something else. It shouldn't lead to us just sitting there at the feet of Jesus constantly and never moving. Are you on Martha's side yet? You're getting there, aren't you? Yeah, I see. I knew it. What Jesus is doing in this moment is he is reordering our priorities. And so for us today, you and I, what we have to do is that we have to yield to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul says in his letter to the Romans. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. He goes on a little bit further. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, it gives us direction. And just like we talked about in the money series back in November, what we prioritize in our life shows us what we value in our life. And so what we're really talking about when we talk about this presence of God in our life, a lot of time what that conversation leads to is, what is the meaning and purpose of my life? Like how and where do I find meaning and purpose in my life? And a lot of times it's where you spend your time, your talents, your treasures. Like if you were to look at all of those things added up, that would show you like what you value and prioritize in your life. Has it become all about making money? Is that the one thing that you prize and value over everything else? Have you elevated certain relationships in your life to say, this is what I value, this is where I find meaning and purpose, is in the relationships that I have in my life? Is it looking for promotions? Is it looking for accolades? Is it looking for one of these? Like, is that what we value and prioritize in our life? If you were to take an honest look at your calendar, on your phone, or in your office, what would garner most of the time on your calendar? Where is most of your time spent? Because when you begin to take an audit of your life and look at these things, you're going to find what you prioritize as the most important things in your life. Money, promotion, job, relationships, whatever it is it these earthly things? So in this moment of the story, Martha is prioritizing every earthly thing around her. That is the most important thing to her. In this moment, serving her house guest is the most important thing. And so Jesus is trying to reorder her priorities. To say, your sister has figured it out. That the presence of God in your life should be the most important thing. That the meaning and purpose of your life is defined by the presence of God in your life. That's where we find our meaning. That's where we find our purpose. And just like we read in that verse, everything starts to choke out the word of God when we look at the distractions around us and we don't prioritize the word of God in our life. Now, men, I don't know why this is, but we find most times our worth, our value, and what we do. Our jobs, what we can do, what we can build. Oftentimes, that's where we find our value and our worth. Now, I'm just speaking general. Like, women, don't come at me, okay? But I suspect that women often prioritize relationships more than anything else in their life. That they find their worth and their value in the relationships they have with their spouses, their friends, their kids. I'm getting a few head nods from women. This is good. Okay. I was concerned. But whatever it is, our job or whatever we do or relationships, like, all of these earthly things that we find meaning and purpose in, they will fail us. Like, I love my marriage. I love being married to my wife. It's one of the best things that I've ever done in my life. But I fail her often. Poor her. She married me. You know? Unlike me, I married her. Like, I did well. Her, on the other hand, work in progress. But if we find our meaning and our value and our worth and our everything that we want in this world and the world beyond, if we put that in people, they will fail you every single time. If we elevate the relationships that we have with people above everything else, they will fail you. If we elevate our jobs over everything else, I mean, we lose jobs disappear. If that's where you find your value and your worth, you're going to be let down every single time. If you find your worth and value in how you serve the church, but you don't prioritize the presence of God in your life, it will let you down. It will burn you out. It will chew you up and it will spit you out. Because the heart behind it is not connected to Jesus. And that's the heart of this story, is that it should be connected to Jesus. That our worship should be surrounded by his presence. I want to ask this question to you. Is your relationship with Jesus driven by action or intimacy? Is your relationship with Jesus driven by action or intimacy? Meaning, is your relationship with Jesus driven by, I'm going to do this for Jesus. I'm going to serve Jesus here. But there's no intimacy with Jesus. Or is your relationship solely focused on the intimacy with Jesus. That you love Jesus. You spend so much time with Jesus. Pastor, I dwell in the Gospels daily. I sit at his feet. Jesus and I were like this. Well, what do you do for Jesus? I told you, I sit with Jesus. Yeah, but what do you do for Jesus? There has to come a point that just dwelling in the presence of Jesus should move you forward to action, to do something. Like to take the love of God and to do nothing with it. I mean, come on, really? Like the one who entered into humanity, the perfect one, went to the cross for you and for me, took on the hell that we deserve. Like understanding what Jesus truly did, that leads you to sit on your hands. Like, why would you not be motivated to tell everyone about what Jesus did? Why would you not be motivated to serve others, to show others how much God truly loves them? And so ultimately, what this story is about, and if you notice, this story is connected, the story before it is the Good Samaritan story. And so what Luke is trying to show us in this moment in his construction of this passage, he's trying to show us what the presence of Jesus in our life can do. And what it can ultimately do, it will help us to love our neighbor and to love God. So the Good Samaritan story is about loving our neighbor. And then this story about Mary and Martha is about how do we love God. You see, if the Good Samaritan was not moved to action, but just sat there and said, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Like, we don't have that story. There is no Good Samaritan unless the Samaritan acts. The Good Samaritan can't sit there like Mary just at the feet of Jesus and do nothing. Now, should we pray for people? I can already hear someone say, we're not supposed to pray for people. Yes, you should pray for people, okay? I already was starting to read the emails. But that story highlights that we should be moved to action. But then it goes to Martha's story, where we're so busy serving and doing and being active that we forget to sit in the presence of God. And so Luke is trying to highlight here is that the presence of God should be in our lives in a deep and meaningful way. That any moment and everything that we should do should be surrounded by the presence of God in our life. And that when we are at the feet of Jesus and we are surrounded by his presence, it should move us and motivate us to action, to love those around us. Would you go ahead and stand with me? Let us pray together. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. Lord, what a great lesson it was today from you to remind us to be in your presence, to surround our life with your presence, but to remember that that presence and that life should move us, should motivate us, that our true purpose is found in you and you alone, that everything of this world will fall short, that the only thing to be true in our lives is your presence. So Lord, I pray now that your presence would surround us. As we enter into this last worship song, Lord, I pray that your spirit will be upon us, that whatever is worrying us, that whatever is distracting us today, that wherever our mind is going right now, that we would sit in your presence. That the only activity that we need to do now is to enter into your presence, to worship you, and to sing of how good you are in our lives. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Luke 12, verse 22. I got lunch on the brain. Sorry. Luke 12, verse 22. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more important than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't, and aren't you far more moment to your life thing. Clothing, yet Solomon and all. Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat or what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things are dominating your thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Verse 31. When we look for the presence of God in our life, and it fills everything else, seek the kingdom of God above everything else, and he will give you everything you need. That was the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach in this moment. Above everything else, seek his presence in your life.